Friends in Christ Jesus, our Lord, don't drink the water. Most people traveling to third world countries have been treated with this advice and soon understand exactly why. The fact is, waters in many lands are dangerous to your health unless first purified. That certainly was not the issue for the kind of water that Isaiah was marketing in our text as he speaks metaphorically of the grace of God. Isaiah addressed Israel at a time when she had misspent her spiritual capital. It resulted in the nation being exiled into Babylon. Their city, Jerusalem, and their temple had been ravaged. They found themselves in a far country, separated from the Lord's temple and the seat of his mercy, distant from the things that symbolize God's presence. Would their fate be to weep perpetually as they sat by the waters of Babylon and remembered Zion? They had come to understand the gravity of their national idolatry that led them to their plight. It is to this sorry situation that Isaiah promises the prospect of a return to good times. He employs the picture of a banquet and issues an invitation. Come, he says, no strings attached. Like the typical village water seller, he cries out, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Instead of charging a princely price for this precious product in a land where pure drinking water was at a premium, he offers it as free. The same is true for milk, for wine, for bread, other essentials of life. They too are offered gratis. But more, even luxuries are added as they are urged to delight themselves in the, quote, fatness of the feast. Such is the amazing grace of God given centuries later through Jesus, the living water that wells up to eternal life. That triggers a question. How can we buy without money and without price? The answer is we can't. But God has footed the bill, and so it's free to you. But it wasn't cheap. It was purchased, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. Isaiah had pictured that in two chapters previous to our text, in that magnificent suffering poem, servant poem, where he wrote, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. This is God's amazing grace, couched in the invitation, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. With many offers, there is an expiration date, but that's not the case here. And the best part about it is that the offer never depreciates. It's an everlasting covenant, as revealed in God's, quote, steadfast, sure mercy to David. Yes, the promise to David was still good nearly 500 years later in Babylon, and it is still good 3,000 years after David in Clayton. The promise of the heavenly banquet is always good for all who will, quote, hearken diligently and eat what is good, namely the bread of life. It is good for all who will continue to drink of the water of life, as revealed through the cleansing fountain that Jesus offered on Calvary. That gift sustains us, it fills us, it empowers us, even as we walk through life's valleys. And those valleys, my friends, may be as deep and as daunting as a comprehensive exam this week, or as the life-threatening illness of a dear friend, or as family quarrels or financial distress. God's gift keeps its value. It's as St. Paul said so eloquently, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Well, if the offer is that good, we might ask, why don't all people come? Isaiah puzzled over that very question as to why people spend their money for that which is not bread. Like many people today, the exiles in Babylon still longed for the holy city, but they had gotten comfortable with the more affluent life where they now were. They had their homes, they had their gardens, they had their jobs in Babylon. The trip back to Jerusalem would be rigorous and risky. Their children and grandchildren would have to be uprooted from the familiar surroundings and friends they had. Yes, a faithful remnant would return, they would listen, but most of them were just too settled and too satisfied with other concerns to take up the invitation. How easy it was for them to say, oh yes, we would love to go back to Jerusalem. It would be great to celebrate the festivals there. It sounds so awesome, but you know, we've got to be realistic. We have our homes here, our families here, we have our futures here, so thanks, but no thanks. The challenges of the 21st century certainly include similar materialistic distractions that we must battle continually. And they also include faith issues, such as those that led to Israel's exile. What, for example, can be more dangerous than postmodern religious teachers who posit salvation through anything other than the amazing grace of God in Christ Jesus? What can be more treacherous than movie makers and writers of religious books who twist the biblical stories into what St. Paul would call another gospel, the very thing that bewitched the foolish Galatians? Isaiah calls both Israel in exile, as well as moderns, to a new direction. In the verses immediately following our text, he urges his people to return to the Lord so they might receive his mercy and his abundant pardon. In this way, they could and they would cash in on the, quote, sure mercies of David, namely forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. But leaving Israel behind for the moment, it gives me great pleasure to be able to say that you are here because you have listened to God's call to come to the waters. You have decided to march ever faithfully with the remnant of Israel toward the holy city, the new Jerusalem, where the water of life flows from the throne of God and where the thirsty receive it freely. Even as we speak, the Lord is preparing a feast for us in the heavenly city. He has offered us that gift at his own expense. It's lavish beyond imagination, as certainly the writer of the Apocalypse would tell us. And while it is free, it wasn't cheap. Yes, there is one thing that the Lord does ask of us besides ourselves continuing on the way with him, and that is to tell others of this great offer and to invite them to come along. So, what are we waiting for? It's a no-brainer. Drink the water. Drink it daily. Even as you are energized by the daily bread that God provides in his word and sacrament, and with Isaiah, cry out to your neighbors, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. In the name of Jesus, amen.